Hey everybody, this is Chad Daniels, and you have landed in the middle of somewhere. Hello, how are you? Are you great? Are you just fine? I don't know. I asked you the question. You answer it. Across from me, as always, is Cyrus Amundsen.
Hello, Chad. Good morning. It's nice to see you. Hello.
Nice to be seen. My beard is very dark. My hair is very dark. I had to dye it all for I was Paul Bunyan. Paul Bunyan for Halloween. So things are a little darker here, and I'm hoping that they go away soon because I look.
I don't
ridiculous.
Like it. Did you dye it? I'm looking at you right now, and I don't like it dark. I like the salt and pepper.
I do too.
You look like a guy now who. You look like every guy. That's what I'll say. You look like every guy in Illinois, Ohio, and Indiana. 4-inch beard, like same color. It's not. I don't like it. I don't care for it.
I understand that. You don't have to come at me this hard.
I'm not
I also don't
at
like
you.
It. Listen, I put on a flannel. I put on a cap that wasn't like down by my stocking cap. Normally, I pull it down by my eyebrows because that's how you keep your head warm.
Mm-hmm.
But you have some people in life that put it on like just the crown of their head with the little reservoir tip sticking up. They look like a rubber. And I put on, like I said, a flannel, and I had on jeans that I rolled too high, so all of my boots were showing because I was Paul Bunyan, and I just looked like I was headed out to watch Sean Patton at a open mic in Bushwick.
What?
I looked like every person, and I know you're thinking, like, Chad, what about the listeners in Bushwick? No one listens to us in Bushwick. Trust me.
No, there's 0% chance. We don't have if we do a live event in Bushwick, it'll be us two and whoever is recording the event.
Someone who's down for a work event in Buffalo, from Buffalo, New York.
Why Paul Bunyan? I view you as such a creative, interesting, funny guy. You seem like the sort of guy who's going to win the costume contest. I know from pictures from the event that you were at that somebody came. They had a black shirt, they had on a wig, they had a name tag that said Eileen, and then they had a bunch of white stains on their chest. And that's that's a home run costume right there. I'm surprised
they were Come On Eileen.
Yes, they were.
The song, Come On Eileen.
They were the song, Come On Eileen. Is it bad that I expected more from you with your costume? That feels very, why don't you just go as a ghost or a puppy dog?
No, I understand that. I also, I just didn't have the time this
okay.
year. I was doing too much other stuff.
That's fair.
Because normally, I mean, listen.
The reason,
and
the reason I say that is because you're a man who sent me at one point a Christmas card with your entire family dressed up as the family from
A Christmas Story.
Christmas Story. Yeah, I kept wanting to say Miracle on whatever street. It's a Christmas Story. So I know that's in you. So yeah, it was just no time.
Yeah, no time to prepare. And I was just had so much other stuff going on, you know, no big deal. Hate to beat a dead horse here, but I have two specials I'm recording in one night,
oh my
December
gosh.
3rd, Madison, Wisconsin.
I can't.
Orpheum
you
Theater.
Weren't working on them this weekend. Come on.
No, but I was doing a lot of stuff. But I had a lot of stuff on my mind. I was traveling a lot. I went out to see Olivia. And so no excuses. I went for something easy so I could, you know, because I certainly don't like to buy a costume.
Right. Absolutely.
I don't like to do that. One of my greatest costumes, and this is, I think, what took a little bit of wind out of my sails, was I cut out this big cardboard thing, and I was a garbage pail kid. So it was, I cut out the frame of the garbage pail kid, and to it I had stapled candy and a stuffed puppy and some balloons, some floating Mylar balloons. And then I had a mustache with my hair parted down the middle and pulled to the sides, and I was Pedophile Kyle. And I lost the costume competition to somebody who had clearly just purchased theirs from Amazon, and I was like, well, this is fucking ridiculous.
Yeah, that's fair. That's a tough...
So it took a little wind out of my sails.
That's a tough blow. We're in this new house. You've been in this neighborhood. I assumed this is going to be kid mania, because there's no through traffic. You come in the neighborhood, and then you don't have to worry about getting hit by a car. It's very safe. It would be a great place to, like, hey, drop the kid off here and then have him walk all the way around. And so instead of asking our neighbors, like, hey, is there a lot of trick-or-treating? I just said to Jenna, there's going to be a lot of trick-or-treating. And I sent her to the store to buy a bunch of candy. And she came home with so much candy. And then we had two trick-or-treaters all night.
Oh.
The entire night. And I guess, you know, it's a neighborhood full of old people, not a lot of kids. And it makes now, in retrospect, everything I thought was right, I now realize was so obviously wrong. But so I just have so much candy. I have a Daniel's dozen of candy. That's what I'm going to call it. It's just, that's not even a number, but just whatever you think is the biggest pile of candy you can imagine. Let's call that a Daniel's dozen.
I like it.
That's what I have. Here's what I'm doing. I have these jars, these see-through jars. What is that? They're see-through. You know, one of them jars you see out on the counter, you can see what's inside it. What's it? Transparent
like
jar?
Like a glass cookie jar?
Kind of, yeah, but they're plastic and they're more tall bins. Anyway, so I have these transparent jars, and I've been loading, one of them now is filled with Reese's, one of them is filled with Snickers, and I'm placing them in my basement. You know, I'm going to put them all on a shelf down here, and they're part of my when Chad comes, let's weigh him down plan, right? And
weigh me down for what?
Well, the Gergamu World Championships are coming next time you come. For those who aren't familiar, Gergamu is an invented precision basketball shooting game that you and I competed in for years. And then when I took with the consumption and was no was no longer able to compete, I handed my spot off to Ethan, who, I mean, I don't want to be harsh, but fucking embarrassed me last time.
It was, you kept saying, no, he played basketball in high school. His team, even though he chose to go on vacation with his family, his team won a state tournament. And I was like, I don't fucking think so.
That should have been thing number one there. The one of the all-time Ethan stories is his team got to go to the state championship, and he chose, and he was a bench warmer, he was a scrub, but he chose to go on vacation on spring break while his team won a state championship. And I can't support that. That's a rough fucking decision. And maybe that should have tipped me off to what happened on the Gergamu courts when you were here back in September.
Yeah, well, I'll tell you that looking at his face and then watching him play basketball, it's like, clearly he was just on the team to attract women to the uglier people on the team that started when they were on the road, because he sucks.
He looks like Matthew Perry just made a wish, and that's how he got onto the basketball team. Zac Efron, 17 again. So we're going to have the first ever Gergamu World Championships, where Joel is going to come down, you're going to come down, Ethan's going to be, we're going to have a whole to-do. Hopefully Ethan will have trained a little bit and not, you know, fuck this thing off next time. But
sure, I won't be doing anything, by the way. I'm just going to rely on my natural ability to be an athlete, which is still at 47... still up there. The only thing that really affected me was the shot from the opposite three-point line on the court, because I have to tell you something. Sometimes I'll do jump squats just to, like, get my heart going a little bit. And the force with which you have to propel the ball from the opposite three-point line, I haven't been doing jump squats right.
No.
Because I'm not putting any force. I'm just basically jumping till my toes get off the ground. I need to be trying to hit my head through the drywall of my ceiling, I think, because that's really how, because my legs were exhausted after taking so many shots from there, because I had so many extra shots because of my free throw shooting ability.
You're in the weeds of the game that nobody understands. The point is you won and you're good. We fucking get it. But
I just wanted you to say the point. Yeah, thank you.
What I learned when you were down here, and it's not like a new learn, but I have a Skittles machine in my house.
Yeah, you do. So just to let people know, it's like one of those machines where you put a quarter in and spin it and Skittles come down, but somehow he's figured out how to use it without a quarter. So you just walk by and spin it. And I'm going to tell you something. 3 days later, I walked down my stairs in my house when I was home and my hand twitched because I was so used to spinning the Skittle machine. I just twitched like a phantom twitch.
You got Pavlov dogged?
Yes.
Pavlov Skittles.
It's the same thing with when the song Celebration by Kool and the Gang comes on. I have to shit because that is my poop song, because I think it's very funny when they say, we're going to celebrate your potty with you. It's great. Come on. And so I listen to that when I'm going to the bathroom, and then I'll be on the road and Kool and the Gang will come on. It's like I have to pull over and shit in the weeds. Like I have to dig down in the cattails and find a safe space. It's horrible.
So as I watched you have, I don't want to be dramatic, but far less than zero self-control, like negative 100 self-control as you passed the Skittle machine in my house.
Yeah.
I realized if I turn my house into essentially a Chad sugar trap, and here's the thing, I'm so confident in this, I'm going to tell it to your face right now, and I'm not worried that you're going to plan and be able to beat it.
That's fine. I mean, I did hit that Skittle machine every time, and then I'd eat them so quickly that I'd circle back and go do it again. I looked like you trying to leave a target. It was fucking ridiculous.
So I am setting up transparent jars full of treats throughout my home. I just need, you know, no matter what house you go into, I want you to go, oh, I didn't know we had a Reese's jar in here. I need, if you're moving, you're eating candy in my house.
No problem.
And then I went out and I bought an ice cream machine.
Oh, did you?
And it's this new type of ice cream machine. And it makes, you make individual ice creams, like an individual serving of ice cream. And
no, not interested.
And well,
individual. It's, that sucks.
We have plenty of jars. You'll be just fine. But it, first of all, it's by the company Ninja that makes the blenders.
Absolutely. Yeah, they make, all sorts of stuff.
So they have, it's called the Creamy, C-R-E-A-M-I, which is, I believe, a mistake. You can't call it the Creamy. It has Creamify technology. What are we? This is not a robot porn. You can't.
Who invented
do that.
This thing, Eileen?
Yeah. You can't. Come on, it's 2022. The internet exists. You can't be like, let's name our thing that makes goo a creamy, like an ice creamy. Sure, ice Creamify technology. Absolutely. You can't pull the word ice out of that stuff. Basically, what you do is, and you would have a really hard time with this, and I didn't know it until I got it, but you get a jar and you make all the ingredients. Like, there's all these ice cream recipes. You put all the ingredients in a jar. You mix them up. Then you put them in a freezer for 24 hours. And then you take them out and you stick them in the Creamy. And it turns it, like, it whips it into really great, soft, yummy ice cream.
Okay. I'm into it.
It's pretty good, dude. It's a pretty good situation.
And you think, so your strategy here is to have all these tall plastic containers that I can see through to the candy.
Transparent jars.
And this ice cream machine.
Skittle machine.
And you think that that is going to get me to play at a lesser level so that your scrub bench warmer vacation going nephew, Madonna scale Ethan, can come and beat me with his subpar skill. Is that correct?
I don't want to frame it exactly like that, but And also Joel is going to be there. So we're at, this is the first ever. What this will be is that we've been playing Gergamu for what, 10, 12 years now?
Something so like that.
This will be the first ever official world championship. So I think there's going to be a lot on the line here. And I here's my big question for you before I keep going. Championship belt, trophy, or jacket? What are we going with?
I liked I was all in on championship belt until you said jacket. I want a jacket.
Now the problem is it just going to be a jacket that you hold? There is no jacket that fits you, Ethan, and Joel.
Yeah, but just to be nice, you have to go with the bigger size jacket, and then the other people are just going to have to swim in it. It's like a girl who only buys Magnum condoms and is like, just tie it off at the bottom, nerd. So you're just going to have to do that. You're just going to have to... And you listen, I'm not saying it's a woman's responsibility to buy the condoms. I'm just saying... All right. So...
I gotta tell you, I think I'm on championship belt. I wanna discuss that in the future. But
so you think a jacket's not gonna fit everybody, but a championship belt is gonna fit everybody?
Well, you throw the belt over the shoulder. You throw the belt
and
over
also,
the shoulder. What sort of pussy?
You fucking know damn well you could send in my exact measurements for a jacket, and that's the only fucking jacket you need.
Oh, come
you
on.
Know that is true. Because I'm going to tell you something. You think you're going to weigh me down with candy and ice cream? I've been training for this shit for 23 years. I'm in the middle of eating my third bowl of ice cream. And not a bowl. Not a single serving creamy bullshit bowl. A mixing bowl where people go, what'd you make in there? Like all the pancakes for a firefighter feed? And I'm like, no, this is my ice cream bowl. I'm on the third bowl of that. And one of my kids would go, Dad, come play with us. We want you to run around the whole block while we just laugh. And so I would do that. I've been training for dropping food to become an athlete for 23 years. I'm not scared of your plan. I am not frightened of this. Order the goddamn jacket.
Here's the thing. Everything you think I'm going to order a jacket when you just gave a professional wrestling promo on our show? Everything you just said. You think you're going to knock me down, brother? I've been stuffing shit into my face for two and no belt. It's a belt. You got to go belt.
That's fair. I might get my own jacket and just wear it to the event. I think that's probably how I'm going to do it.
I think that's fair. And maybe there's some other event that leads to jacket. The point is, I don't know that any of this is going to work, but I just hate not having control. I just hate watching someone else lose for me. And
it was tough. I will say when Madonna Scale Ethan and I were playing Gergamu, you called an exorbitant amount of timeouts.
I was trying to pick him up. You saw his body language. You saw the
it
man.
It was absurd. Well, his body language is slumped over because he's been on a phone since he was two. I mean, that's just how kids look. But and then I'd get in a streak, and then you'd come around. You'd go, hold on. We have to talk about the rules. Or you'd go, hold on. I have to add up the scores. I make a fucking 9 shots in a row, continuously backing up on the court. And you'd be like, wait, it's too fast. Let's add it up. Always trying to be the cooler in Vegas. And it just doesn't work. I'm telling you. I know. I say it so many times. I know it doesn't look like it, but I can't be beaten.
The problem is, as I've added all this candy to my home and I keep buying these arcade machines, it either looks like there's two things it could possibly look like. Either I'm trying to distract a man that I'm competing with, or which no one would ever guess that, or I'm trying to suck kids into my house. You walk into my basement. Yeah, there's like, and here's the arcade games. There's the Skittle machine. And over there are the transparent jars full of candy. Upstairs, you can make your own personal ice cream. Give me whatever you want it to be. And then we can go watch TV on the big screen downstairs. Don't fall asleep. Like, it's not.
Now, take your shoes off and just wear your socks up to the linoleum floor. We're going to moonwalk.
Yeah. It's not a good look. The one thing that sucks about this creamy with its creamified technology, I just don't love like making the ice cream, the planning that's involved, like make your ice cream and then freeze it for a day and then you can eat it tomorrow. So I'm developing this system where I always have ice cream in the freezer and I'm always making the next one. And it's not like a little bowl. It's one of the Chad pints. They're Chad pint size. They're big okay. jars.
Okay. Well, I mean, you know, as long as you always have them in the freezer, because it would suck to want ice cream and then go, oh, I can't wait to have ice cream tomorrow.
Yeah. Let's do all the work while I want ice cream and then eat it tomorrow at this time.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Well, listen, it sounds fun. I mean, I'd look into it if it was, you know, not individual servings. Like I said, I can't have 14 empty jars of cream on my counter and have someone walk in and go, what happened here? Because it's just like, I just don't need that. Especially when it now ice cream shows in my dark Paul Bunyan beard.
Sure.
A lot more than it used to. I used to be able to just have ice cream on my beard. And you'd go, it looks like there's 9 different colors in there. And I just giggled to myself because I knew it was ice cream, some of them. It was perfect. Hey, I got to tell you a story about an Uber ride. You familiar with Uber?
I am familiar with Uber, yeah. I remember the normal world, yeah.
Yeah, so sometimes I take Uber, sometimes I take Lyft. It just depends. And people go, you're not supposed to take Uber. They're the most evil company. And it's like, well, I have to get to where I'm going. So unfortunately, I cannot walk and I don't know any other way to get there. So I'll take Uber. And on Uber and Lyft, it will like tell you the driver's preferences. You know, it's very interesting. Like if there's something the driver wants you to know about them, it will tell you.
Okay.
And so there is hard of hearing and there's full on deaf.
As options?
Yeah. Yeah. So I get this Uber and it says your driver is deaf.
Okay.
And so I go, all right. So I'm like, you know, when I get there, I'm making sure I'm kind of walking down the driver's side to wave instead of on the side, you know, like where I would just walk up to the passenger window. And I know he's not blind, but I'm like just trying to make sure. And then I say, you know, I say very slowly, I mouth, I'm Chad. And he goes, he just nods to me. So I get in and I put my luggage in the trunk, get in. And I've never had a deaf driver before. And so I'm kind of one of these weirdos where I know that I'm paying for the ride, so I should be able to talk on the phone or I should be able to do what I want. I just don't. Because it's this person's car. And so there needs to be a little like a mutual level of respect here. And so but this time I'm like, the guy's deaf. So I take a call. Someone calls me. I take the call. I'm loud. I'm laughing. I'm speaking sometimes inappropriately. And a song, you know, just like the radio's on for the riders.
Sure.
And so Creep comes on by Radiohead.
Okay.
And I let her rip because who gives a shit? And so I'm just like really enjoying this. And I think, I wonder if you can request deaf drivers like all the time, and I wonder how far away they'd be. You might have to wait 25 minutes, but sure. Sometimes who knows, worth it if you have the time. And so you know, I go, so the ride's done or whatever, and I get around, I make sure he sees me, I wave and then point to the trunk. He opens the trunk, get my bags, and then just without thinking, from the times I took my bag out of the trunk to the time I shut the trunk, I like somehow forget that he's deaf, and I just go, thanks, man. And he goes, without looking at me, he goes, no problem. Have a good one. This man was not deaf.
Oh, what a piece of shit.
No. I get it. He just put deaf on there so no one would talk to him while he was driving around, which is exactly something I would do. I would definitely do that. I would say like, yeah, I'm deaf. Please don't talk to me. And then just get your shit done however you want to do it. But now I'm thinking back of some of the things I said in the
phone conversation. That's what I was saying, because he's listening into a conversation that you didn't know he was listening
into.
It's
so good. It's so good. I giggled for like 3 days after I had this driver. And I wondered if I could do things, like if I could put I'm deaf on there. And I couldn't figure out how to do it because I think that would be awesome. You just find out a lot of shit about your driver.
Plus, you don't want to, I'm a big believer, and you don't want to carry around the energy of pretending to have a life-altering disability. You don't want to be like, hey, I'm doing my I'm deaf bit again. I don't think that's good karma.
That's true. And so I have this deaf driver, and I think to myself, there is no fucking way. Because I'm thinking about being deaf, and I'm thinking about being blind, thinking about all these things that could happen to you. And I'm like, there's no way Helen Keller was blind and deaf and then like walked out on stage and gave speeches. Because I tried. Listen, I tried to think about it. I put my noise-canceling headphones on and I shut my eyes. But what was the first thing I heard? Battery at 60%. Connected to Chad's iPhone. And so I'm like, well, I'm not deaf. I can hear all this shit. This isn't fun. And so I'm trying to figure out how to do it. And I just think, if I were blind and deaf, you tell me what you would do. Like, when you come into this world, how would you know anything? You're sitting you're lying in a crib, and it's like there's no way for you to get any stimulation. You can feel, right? You can feel people coming up and touching you, but you can't see them. That sucks.
Didn't she go blind and deaf? She wasn't born blind and deaf, was she?
I think she was, because the miracle worker had to pour water on her hand and then spell the word water. And so I think that she was born blind and deaf, allegedly, by the way, because I can't imagine, and this isn't me calling Helen Keller a liar. This is me judging this situation based on my ability and my like way I would live my life. Because I was thinking, like, they can't give you a book and be like, hey, read this about being deaf, because you're fucking blind. And they can't tell you about being blind because you're fucking deaf. That would be so incredible. I just really, really do not understand how someone could be both of those things and make it past the year two.
First of all, I don't know if anyone's ever told you this before, but you would be a hit on YouTube. This whole, everything you just did, put it in an 8-minute video with some footage. You're going to be YouTube's next big hits. And this is all YouTube is. Just a guy with an idea that's, you know, not well researched and easily proven the other direction. And you just go.
I didn't research this at all. It just doesn't make sense to me, because I couldn't do it.
She was born, and then it's essentially born. It's not born, but it's essentially. At 19 months of age, she became deaf and blind as a result of an unknown illness, perhaps rubella or scarlet fever. So, you know, that's 19 months. So it's not like you're like, yeah, I learned how to talk and do things, and then I remember what everything looked like before I went blind. You're right. She's just been blind and deaf. And you ask me what I would do. I don't know. It's a fucking nightmare. Even thinking about it is so horrific.
I'm telling you, it's the same feeling I get when I try to figure out where space ends. Yeah. I just shrink into myself. My nuts start to hurt. Listen, I'm not saying 19 months is enough time to wrap your mind around everything on planet Earth, but it is different than just coming out of the chute blind and deaf.
I don't know. I mean, no one can communicate with you. If you come out of the chute blind and deaf, right? Yeah, you don't. I mean, it's your normal, I suppose, but what an odd can't hear. Even thinking about it, what are you doing? What are you?
I know.
Don't you have anything
this
to talk about?
This is what I'm telling you.
You sit in your house and you have a fucking horrible
deaf
moment where you spiral and you're like, I need to share this with Cy.
Of course I need to share it with somebody, because I can't keep it inside because I'm spiraling. Now picture this. You're 19. You get 19 months. You get rubella. You get scarlet fever, whatever it is. And you go blind. And you think, oh shit, I can't see anything. Well, at least I can still hear if people are coming towards me. And then that goes. Or vice versa. Yeah. You're deaf. And you go, well, at least I can still see people moving around. This is going to suck. I can't hear them, but I can see them. And then you go blind. I mean, come on, man. That is... And how you don't even understand anything at 19 months. You're still shitting your pants. Most people are still shitting their pants. I just, man, no.
And that's why she's so famous. That's why she's so famous.
So listen,
we're gonna get. I'm gonna tell you what. We're gonna get a lot of messages about Helen Keller, just because we are so on the peripheral of any actual understanding or information.
We have zero information.
Zero. This is just two guys doing a really bad job here.
I know three things. I know she's blind and deaf. That counts as one. I know she gave speeches, which blows my mind because she had to hold her hand up to her neck to feel the vibrations. And then I know that a miracle worker, and this is allegedly, I just know this from a movie, that she poured water on her hand and then spelled the word water so she would figure out how to do that stuff. But I'm telling you.
Well, that's the whole thing. Ann Sullivan, right? There's in Minneapolis, I believe, there's the Ann Sullivan School of Learning. That was the name of her teacher. She was, you know, the one who did all this stuff. Let's move a different direction.
If you could be blind or deaf, which would you choose?
Deaf. 1,000% of the time. Deaf every single time.
You would be
time.
Deaf because you need sight and you don't care about the hearing.
I mean, I care about hearing, but to me, the other is, I can't even, it makes me so uncomfortable to even think about it. It's so frightening. That when Daryl Lennox came on and, you know, gave us that incredible, you know, episode, I'll say he gave it to us because that's what it felt like, him talking about himself.
It was a gift.
It was, I can't even imagine. I can't even think about that. Let me ask you this.
Hold on, though. Positive spin on Daryl Lennox. Super Bloom, his album, if you haven't heard it, go listen, up for a Grammy.
Yeah, that's amazing. That's incredible. It should be.
Yeah.
What, if you had to pick between ability to speak, like use your voice, and hear, which one do you get rid of? And I'm saying, like, you can't, it's you completely, like, you can't make a noise.
Well, I would have to, no, I'd have to not hear. Because listen, and by the way,
because how are you going to heave those balls full court Gergamu style if you can't go, ha ha?
That's not true. It's just when it goes in, I want to be like, hey, motherfucker, suck it. And I don't have to hear your goddamn reply to it. But here's the real thing. If I ever have the choice between speaking and hearing, I'm going to choose speaking and to lose my hearing because I'm almost deaf anyway. And then the world is going to need to buckle up, because the only reason I stop talking is because I'm sick of it. Imagine I can't hear myself. Oh, man. I might learn how to do that Kenny G thing where I inhale through my nose and just exhale through my mouth for that constant note. I might never stop talking. I might break Olivia's record of 3 straight days of talking.
Imagine having that ability where you figure out how to do something like that, and you could either become Kenny G or Jeff Dunham.
Yeah, I go Kenny G.
Well, of course you go. You go. Everybody goes Kenny G. I just feel like that's like you pick one. It's like a comic book movie about two people who started at the same place and went different directions.
Yeah, I don't need to be, you know, up on stage with a Putin dummy just going, you guys really think that Ukraine does not deserve to get bombed? And people are like, Jeff! And he's like, no, it's not me.
It's the dummy.
It's the puppet.
He goes,
guys, stop.
I am the king of atrocity. And everybody goes, whoa. And he goes, oh, are you cranky? You're like, all right, fucking A, Jeff, we know it's you. The puppet's not a person. We know it's you.
Yeah, I don't, I just don't know, man. The being blind and deaf, that's both of those are hard passes for me. So if the universe is listening, you know, take away a foot. You know, I've been trying my hardest to get diabetes almost my whole adult life. So it's like, if you're going to just concentrate on what I'm giving you, you don't have to take anything.
Here's what's going to happen. There's this medication out there for type 2 diabetes. I forget what it's called. But it's being,
is it called vegetables?
It's being connected to longevity. It's been around forever, and it's this medication that in animals has been shown to increase their longevity. And they've done a bunch of human studies on people who have type 2 diabetes, who you would think have a shorter lifespan, because they have type 2 diabetes, the one where you got it from eating the foods, I believe.
The sugars.
The generally,
you got little sugar bugs in your
teeth. The unhealthies. And these people with type 2 diabetes that were on this specific medication outlived people who didn't have type 2 diabetes on average. So they believe this could play a big role in aging, and it's really being researched right now. Again, I don't even remember the name of it. That's how much I know about it, but I know it's a thing, sure. And I know I saw it. You're going to be one of these fucking people who you're going to get diabetes at 65, you know, mm-hmm. we're going to have to, and though somebody will put you on this medication, and because the rest of the world hasn't figured out that it totally affects longevity and it hasn't started being used for that, there's going to be, your grandkids are going to have to watch your fat type 2 ass stroll into a living room and go, 95 years old, I'm a natural athlete. I've beat Madonna Scale, Ethan, and Gergamo, any of you kids. And you're going to think it's you, but it's just your diabetes medication.
Well, first of all, I'm not going to take diabetes medication, even though I will have diabetes. And I won't stroll anywhere. I'll be limping because I'll be down 1 foot. Now, let's just get the facts of the story right. But I will. I have no desire to live into shitting years.
The facts? This has been the least facts. For anybody who hasn't heard the new Cy Learned It on
Patreon,
which we're going to start doing a bunch of those because essentially Chad and I found a theme song that we love and we've committed. Do you want to sing it?
No, go for it.
Science is a lie. Science is a lie. So come on in and learn from Uncle Cy. We stumbled across that in the last episode. But the great thing about the Cy Learned It, and that's we're really carrying that into this episode, is we're learning it the way we learn stuff, which is poorly.
Yeah, we don't. So we will read a sentence from this paragraph and a sentence from this paragraph.
And then get distracted.
And then maybe the end.
Get distracted by that second sentence. Spend some time on that second sentence. And then we come back to your third sentence from a different paragraph.
Yeah, it's pretty good. And then you send me an entire sheet, like a word document of stuff that you have, like books you've looked into and stuff like that, and then I read none of it.
Yep.
And then we discuss.
It's like if Time Suck wasn't good at picking topics or doing the research.
Yeah. It's like if Dan Cummins pulled his chair up to his mic and somebody said, dinosaurs, and just yelled at, it's like Time Suck meets the Groundlings, where they just yell out a topic and then he has to pretend to know about it.
It's very fun. I like doing it. Last thing before we get out of here.
Yeah.
I've been down at the Sperm Shack, as I've told you, as we
tin roof rusted.
So, you know what I learned? I was speaking to a friend. As you know, you are, despite your vasectomy, you are in the small group of people considered to be my baby daddy. And
that's right. Yeah, that's right.
I was talking to another friend who's also in the small group of people considered to be my baby daddy. And
sure,
he also has been snipped. And he said that his urologist told him that, you know how you said, like, I'll get my vasectomy reversed?
Yeah.
You actually don't have to do that. There's a procedure, and it's called sperm aspiration, not inspiration. That'd be a very different thing. This is sperm aspiration.
I don't inspire, I aspire.
Yeah, you aspire. So the way it was explained to me, and could anything be more of a bummer, they go in, so sperm still gets produced, but it's just blocked from coming up through the urethra.
The tunnel's closed.
But so they go behind the blockage and they pull the sperm out there. So,
and that's a hard pass for me. I'm going to get it reversed because I get to have sex.
You know, that's still, we still have to continue to negotiate that. The interesting thing, I had to go, I had to give a sample.
Yeah.
And
how was it?
Have you ever,
hey, look at me. How was it?
Have you ever given a sample before?
How was it? Look at me. Is it fine? Is your part of your dick swollen? Look at me.
One of the nurses quit because she's like, I'm not choking another patient.
Yes.
Have you ever given a sample?
I have, yep.
So it was there when you, so because we've been doing this our whole life. We've been given samples our whole life before doing it in an official capacity.
Yeah, of course.
Was there a moment where, like, throughout your life, did you think, I produce a bunch of this stuff? Like, was there a, did you have an idea in your brain of how much you put out?
Oh, I see what you're saying.
Like, are you, you know, are you a guy who is into it? You know, some, like, when you were a kid and you're taking care of it yourself, you're like, I wonder how much there is. Or did you have a concept of how much Chad juice you produce?
Yeah, I've done some self experiments. Yeah, I've. Sure. Listen, you're not the first one to buy a creamy, okay? I have jars in my freezer.
Did you think it was a lot? And then when you went to do an actual sample where you put it in a cup, you were like, I was right. It's a lot.
So I thought it was, I didn't know that there were people that had less and people that had more. I thought that
I didn't know that
either. We evolved to have the same amount, to mm-hmm. have the same amount of chance to reproduce. But I do know that if you can kegel it in, if you can really get one of those full body deals, you know, if your toes start to tingle before you let her rip, is what I'm trying to say.
Like, you're saying, right? If you pull the slingshot back as far as possible, is that what you're trying to say to me?
Yeah, because sometimes you can kind of like not be concentrating and you let her rip before you're ready, and that's going to be less. But if you can really, wait till you can't feel your toes, I mean, you could pass that out to the whole hospital.
This has to be anecdotal. Right? That has to be anecdotal information. There can't be somebody like, if you hold it, it boofs, and if you don't, it's slow. Like, that has to be personal experience.
No, I mean, because what you're basically doing is you're holding the gate. You are Chunk on Goonies. Hey, you guys! And you are Chunk on the Goonies. Sloth on the Goonies, not Chunk, Sloth. And he's raising the gate for you to get out. He's holding the rock that's about to fall for you to get out. And by waiting till your toes start to tingle and your body gets all tingly, you're holding that open. And so more and more goonies, or gooies, if you will, can get out and before you shut the thing.
Just all of a sudden, all these B-list and D-list goonies that you didn't know existed.
Yeah.
It's Trevor and Travis and Sheila and Punk. Is that Chunk's cousin, Punk? Just all these extra goonies coming out?
Yeah, exactly.
Well, maybe that, I never thought like, yeah, I'm sure there's a bunch when I do. I never thought about it, but when I went to give the sample into a cup, I got to tell you, I made the fastest work out of that humanly possible. I was like,
nice.
Let's get in, let's get done, let's get out. So maybe I wasn't. Maybe I didn't have sloth holding it open and I didn't do things correctly. Because when I put it in a jar that I had to give to them, I was like, oh, I don't, this isn't going to be, I'm going to fail this test. Like, it felt like, I was like, I almost said to the person when I gave it to him, I was like, I assumed there'd be more. Like, it did not seem like enough. There can't be... The baby that's going to come out of that small amount, oh, he's going to be so weak.
No, imagine first time sexers and the guy just barely gets the tip in and then there's just a very minuscule amount of sperm because of Sloth not holding the rock. And then they still get pregnant, and everyone teases them because it's like, that's the first time you had sex and now you have a baby. Oh my God, that sucks.
I need you to commit right now to sperm aspiration. Are you in or not?
No, because I'm not going to have you farming and harvesting my sperm when I could easily snip the burned ends, sew them back together, give me 3 weeks tops. I'll be sitting on frozen peas.
Oh, I thought you meant
to Cincinnati.
I thought you meant give me 3 weeks with Jenna tops.
Oh God, I would never say that. Jesus, please.
Would you never say that? Are we going to pretend that the way we talk on here is the exact way we talk in real life? You would never say that.
Okay, listen, maybe I would say that, but I would never say I need 3 weeks with someone because I've tried to make a baby once and I have two kids. I'm very good at it.
I'm going to go, okay? I am going to leave.
You should go.
I love you. Goodbye.
Hey, if you guys like this, there will be a new episode next Monday and every single Monday at 8 a.m. So click the subscribe button so your phone sends it to you without having to do any work.